Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Marev Rabosai. I hope you can hear me and see me. I can see some of you, and I can see some of your names. What we're discussing is the shailos that relate to schitas peiros. I think today we're going to try to complete the sugya of schitas peiros. And what I'd like to discuss tomorrow is already give a couple of shiurim about the halachos of Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, because that's an important topic. So in terms of schitas peiros, we spoke about squeezing lemons, and we pointed out that there are two svaras in the Beis Yosef to defend that the minig in Mitzrayim is that they squeezed lemons. And we also pointed out that Rav Rimon in his Sefer, interestingly, quotes that when he was learning with his daughter Rivka, so his daughter Rivka is bothered with the question that maybe squeezing lemon should be asur min haTorah, because just like the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Se'if Hey, that by Bozar, that when you take these underdeveloped grapes and you squeeze them, that's going to be an issue of Borer. So Hu Hadin, the lemons should be like bosar, because bosar is not really edible. People don't eat bosar, and no one really eats lemons. That was his shaila. So I have this sefer by my mokum, the Megillah Sefer, which I'm quite fond of. And the Megillah Sefer, I noticed, raises this issue as well. And interestingly, the Megillah Sefer also raises another issue. Well, maybe we should say that squeezing lemons is d'oraisa, because of the other svara that we mentioned yesterday. Mamesh, like, he was machaven to my entire shir yesterday. It's amazing. So the Megillah Sefer raises the issue that maybe it should be the oraisa, because today people squeeze lemons all the time. And therefore, maybe it should have the din of zeisim va'anovim. Right? The two questions that we asked yesterday about zeisim va'anovim and bolser, he raises both questions. He says, with respect to the zeisim va'anovim issue, that you see that zeisim va'anovim has to be based on the shame mashke, like the Ran says. And even though the Prima Godim writes that Rashi disagrees with the Ran, he has like a whole shtickle Torah to reinterpret the Rashi. That Rashi is not only saying that it's based on the Regilos, but it has to be a shame mashke in order to be Da'irai. So that's already, I think, creative. His Mahalach with the Bosar, his Mahalach with the Boser issue, I read it, but I do not understand it. So I can't even repeat it. I'm just happy that these issues that we raised yesterday, he also raises, but I didn't really gain any mahalach in terms of how to deal with it. The question that we spoke about yesterday is, what do you do about squeezing a lemon on Shabbos? So one mahalach is that you squeeze the lemon onto the food. Again, we pointed out the machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. We said this a couple of days ago already, about whether squeezing lemon on sugar is a lamakula or not. The Chazon Ish feels that we go basal basof, and we discussed that issue. And then we had our steer in the Chazon Ish, because on the one hand, the Chazon Ish passes like the Drisha. On the other hand, the Chazon Ish says that we follow the basof, which is like a sphere of the Radvaz. That's an issue that we addressed.
Did the Ramad disagree with the Shulchan Aruch? About lemons?
He doesn't say that he disagrees. What evidence do you have that the Ramad disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch?
Right, so what's the issue with squeezing lemons on Shabbos? The Shulchan Aruch was Mati Lagamri, the Ramad said nothing. What's the issue?
No, so again, the issue of squeezing lemons on Shabbos, remember, the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir on it, because the Mishnah Berurah seems to be going like the second Svara in the Beis Yosef, that the only heter to squeeze lemons is because they squeeze lemons into another liquid ordinarily. They don't squeeze lemons on their own. And the way we explained is, therefore, there's no makom to be gozer atu zesim ban of him. Therefore, Bisman Hazeh, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sivkot and Chaf Beis, Bisman Hazeh, that people are memale chavios with the lemon juice, so it should really be a problem. That's what the Mishnah Berurah concludes. You pointed out, or I pointed out, someone pointed out, that Chacham Obadiah and the Levi Yachin feels that the cool of squeezing lemon still applies. What's interesting is Rav Rimon in his Sefer is willing to be makel in certain cases because squeezing lemons might be mutter entirely. In other words, this issue like that we had with the Machlekes Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish about squeezing lemons onto sugar, he's willing to be makel because who says squeezing lemons is a problem? Klavi Ikar. That's the way Rav Rimon says it.
Right.
Again,
if the Mishnah Berurah is correct, then the Ramah should have said something to limit the Shulchan Aruch sweeping.
No. I mean, why are you assuming that the Mishnah Berurah would only be based on the Ramah? The Mishnah Berurah is saying that I feel that Ikar is like the second opinion of the Beis Yosef. The Taz felt the Ikar is the first opinion of the Beis Yosef, and the Mishnah Berurah says, no, I feel the Ikar is the second opinion of the Beis Yosef, and therefore, Bisman Hazah, things changed.
So why
are we talking about going to pursue the Mishnah Berurah on that Nakuda?
You just said we passed on, like, is that what the contemporary post can say? We passed on to Mishnah Berurah against, like, everyone else?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Is the passage that we pass, is the contemporary post can say we passed on to Mishnah Berurah against everyone else?
I don't think it's against everyone else. It's against. Here's the thing. The Mishnah Berurah is a malakate. So the Mishnah Berurah, the fact that he doesn't pass them like the Magen Avraham and the Taz, even though they're on the page, I think that's very suggestive. That means he's rejecting them. Right? So in terms of the Hilchos HaKabbasra issue, I think that would be relevant in this case. Now, what am I supposed to do with the lemon? So Rav Rimon has a suggestion that if you put the lemon into the liquid itself, it's going to be mutter, which is based on the idea that's found here in Shulchan Aruch and Se'if Beis, where the Mechaber writes, if you have zeisim ve'andom rishon esraskum me'erev Shabbos, if you have grapes and olives that were chopped up me'erev Shabbos, remember, the mashkim hazovin from zeisim and andovim is going to be usher. Right, there is a din of mashkin shazavu that not only is it usher to squeeze fruit, but even if you didn't squeeze the fruit and the liquid oozes out, we paskin is machlekas hatanoim in the Mishnah Kuf Mem Yehu. Everyone holds the gemara that by zeisim v'anovim there's no isser of mashkin shazavu. Excuse me, everyone holds that by zeisim v'anovim there is an isser of mashkin shazavu. By the Zradin or whatever, there's no din mashin shazavu. The machlekes is now tusim v'rimonim about the pomegranate, etc. And tusim v'rimonim, we paskin that if it's yotzu me'atzmon and it's omeid achil, it's going to be mutter. I want to talk about that in a few minutes. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's go back to Sif Beis. Sif Beis says, if I have zeisim v'anovim, shenis maskim erev Shabbos, the mashkin that leaves them is going to be mutter if it goes into some yayin, right? Meaning that the grape juice that leaves these anovim and it goes directly into some wine is going to be mutter because the mechaber writes shekol yayin hayotze min meha anovim mispatel b'yayin shebegigas. Because the wine that leaves the anovim is going to be bottled to the wine in the gigas. You had wine there beforehand. There's more wine that's oozing out of these grapes. Ordinarily, wine that oozes out of grapes is a gezer of mashin shazavu, is aser. But in this case, we're mekel because the wine that oozes out of the grapes is going to be bottled to the liquid that was there from me'er shabbos. That's the halacha. Now, this is a din of bittul. The Mishnah Berurah writes it's a din of bittul b'shishim that's required. And it's a little bit questionable how there's bittul in this case. You see, there's a halachin yerideya in Simin Kuf Beis that a davar sheyesh lo matirin can't be bottled. If I have an item that right now is usser, but it will be mutter later on, right? Chadash. Right? Chadash is going to be mutter later on. All you need is to be makriv the omer, where to wait after korban habayis, you wait another day, and then you could have the chadash. It's mutter later on. Now it's aser. It's going to be mutter later on. Let's go to davar sheyesh lo matirin. Davar sheyesh lo matirin can't be bottled. L'cha'ira, the wine that oozes out of the grapes is a davar sheyesh lo matirin, because although right now on Shabbos it's aser, but nonetheless, all you have to do is wait till Motzei Shabbos, and then you could use these grapes. The halacha usually is that davar sheyesh lo matirin cannot be bottled. The Mishnah Berurah speaks this out in Sifkat Yudalet. No? Shin Chav Sifkat Yudalet. The Mishnah Berurah writes, it's bottled. Af agav la'achar Shabbos yilo heter. The kaimalon the davar sheyesh lo matirin afilo be'elef lo bottled. It's bala olam b'tarufas, exactly. Right, since the grapes did not have like the grape juice, the oozed grape juice did not have an independent identity, it goes into the wine directly. So therefore, it is going to be bottled, even though it seems to be a davar sheyesh lo matirin, because it never had an independent identity beforehand. Davar sheyesh lo matirin is going to be bottled in this situation. That's the halacha. And again, this is relevant for us now because we're talking about putting the piece of lemon into the tea, right? So it's going to be a davar sheyesh, it's going to be mutter because it's the same as sif base. Shouldn't it be a davar
sheyesh lo
matirin? Shouldn't it be a davar sheyesh lo matirin? So the answer is that no, it's not a davar sheyesh lo matirin. The answer is that even though it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, since it's bala olam b'tarufas, it's going to be mutter. Right? That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkatin Yudalot. This idea is paskin by the Ramon Simon Kuf Beis also, that we paskin that it's bottle in these cases. However, so am I allowed to be mevatel the iser lechatchila? So that's an interesting question. So you're well over here. I'm not really being mevatel this lechatchila because I'm not doing it. The grapes are oozing wine on their own. I crushed it beforehand, and then it continues to ooze over Shabbos. So I'm not being mevatel. It just happens on its own. Right? I'm not throwing the chazer into my pot. Right? It's happening on its own. Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah writes that this is
you do clearly want the liquid to come out, though. Like when you throw the lemon in.
Yeah, I want the liquid to come out. I'm throwing the lemon in and the chanami, but apparently it's going to be mutter. I'm looking for someone who says it's beferish, that we're not worried about emavat l'nes l'chatchila in this case either. Correct. It's mutter. The Bach writes, it's mutter l'oseis anovem betoch hayayin sheyisbaku v'yotziu yenom. It's mamish heter gomor.
That's putting it in Shabbos, on
Shabbos.
What? The Bach's talking about on Shabbos.
Yeah, it's talking about this case.
As opposed to before Shabbos.
I think so. I think we assume that even on...
There's no bit to list it. There's no Isser. You're avoiding the whole Isser.
I'm right? Avoiding the whole Isser because... Right, aim of out nisr chatchil is when they have an isser and then it becomes mutter. But over here, I never had an isser because it ba la'olam b'taruvus. Right, that sounds like a reasonable approach. Now this din,
there is an isser. Doesn't need bittel.
Well,
like, there wasn't,
if there wouldn't be an Isser, there would be an Isser if it's omed le'atzmo. There would be an Isser if it's on its own. But because it's not on its own now, so memela, there never was an Isser. That's precisely the point. This item, right, this item never had its independent Isser identity.
Say, like, if you milk a trace cow into a bucket of kosher milk, like, that's, you know, that's bitul Isser lechatzila, even if you stick the udder into the milk. But, like, this is because the Isser of Nolad is creating a new thing, right? It became a new entity on Shabbos. You follow them with Harovesh, then it never became a new entity.
This, the Isser of Gezer of Mashim Shezavu, you're saying, is like the Isser of Nolad. And it was never Nolad be Isser that I have to be matter. But again, I think it's clear from the Gemara. I think it's clear from the Gemara in the beginning of Beitza that there's a difference between the din of Nolad and the din of Gezeris Mashkin Shazavu. Right? The Gemara asks at the beginning of Beitza, what's the reason for and there's a few different reasons that are given. One is Nolad, the other is Mashkin Shazavu. It's clear that these are two separate reasons. But again, I think the Svara is that was never an Isser. And there is a, again, it is something that's worth discussing. There is a discussion that I have in my shiur when I teach Eridea about whether it's in a bitul Isser l'chatchila if I take something that's mutter now and will become Usser later on. Am I allowed to throw chametz now into a pot? I'm asked to use it 3 weeks from now, right? Just to be scared Pesach is coming. Am I allowed to do that now, right? It's going to be bottle now. Is that considered bitul Isser l'chatchila when it's heter at this point? You get an impression from this din that l'cha'ira, it should be okay. Again, it's worth thinking about. I hear your ha'ara. Now, this entire halacha, that because it's bala olam b'taruvas, it's mutter, comes from a Mordechai at the beginning of Shabbos. Right? The notes on the Taz tell me, look in the Mordechai beginning of Shabbos, Osration on Taz. The problem is that there is another Mordechai. The Mordechai, right? The Mordechai beginning of Shabbos talks about this case of the grapes going into the grape juice. There's another Mordechai in Chulin in Parakaz Roa. The Mordechai over there talks about, the Gemara says, that Yavama Sherakika Dam. Right? That the halakha of a Yavama is that she has to spit. No? And they used to say expectorate, right? That's the expression, which means spit. So the Yavama has to spit. If the Yavama is Rakika Dam, it's going to be a problem. Right? And even if there's a teeny drop of blood in it, it's going to be a problem. Or, and we have a halacha also, that e'efshar l'shikvas zera, and it's not going to have sepsuchei ziva in it. The zav is metame. The shikvas zera of the zav, it's not shayich that there won't be some ziva in the shikvas zera of the zav. Correct the Mordechai. Shouldn't it be bottle? Right? And Mordechai asks, shouldn't the dam be bottle in the Reich? Shouldn't the ziva be bottle in the Shechva Zera? So the Mordechai writes in Chulin and Parakaz Roa that it's not going to be bottle because since it's Bala Olam B'taruvis, so therefore it can't be bittle. Bittle means I have an Isser. And the Isser goes into Heter. When the Isser and the Heter come together, Bittul is not Shayach. So the problem in Judaism is that means I have a contradiction in Mordechai's. On the one hand, the Mordechai here in Sif Beis, the Mordechai that's relevant for Hilchas Shabbos, says that Davar Shebal Olam B'Taruvis is a super duper Bittul. And therefore, even though Dover Sheyishal Matirin is ordinarily not bottle, but here it is bottle. On the other hand, the Mordechai in Chulin about the Shechva Zera Shozov or the Yavama Sherakika Rok says that because it's bala olam be taruvis, therefore it's never going to be bottle. So that is a very serious shayla. It's a shayla that the Nodi Buddha raises. And it's a shayla that you agree. It's a serious shayla, yes. It's a shayla that the Nodi Buddha raises. It comes up in the Pisrei Tshuva in Yeridei and Semin Yudala and Hilchos Shechita. You see, the assumption is that the cholav of a behema comes from all of the evarim of the behema. So let's say you have a behema that one of the evarim is treif and the rest of the behema is kshera. For example, if you have a behema sheyatza chutza limchitzasa, if one of the behema is born partially, it like reaches out a leg, then it brings it back in. So that means that the leg that the behema reached out is treif. That means that a chelek of this animal, this baby inside mommy, is treif. That means that the milk that comes out is partially treif. And therefore, you shouldn't drink the milk. Frek the pischei tshuva, why don't we assume that it's bottle? Why don't we assume it's bottle? So he gives the same answer. The Mordechai says it can't be bottle. Right? Aye, but isn't that Mordechai Slicer, this Mordechai? So the Noda B'Yehuda in that Shuvan, Simon Nundalad, says that there are two dinim of bittel. There's bittel of bittel b'raiv, and then there's bittel of bittel b'shishim. Bittel b'rov means that I have an item. Some of it is mutter, some of it is usser. I decide to focus on the mutter part, not the usser part. Bittul b'raiv is just a way of saying, pay attention over here, don't pay attention over there. Bittul b'shishim has a totally different mechanism. Bittul b'shishim operates that I am saying that the isser no longer exists. The isser is command of lesson. I think this idea comes up many times in Yeridea. But the basic idea that we're getting at is, in our case, right, it's bittul b'shishim. The Mishnah Berurah makes a strong point that the grape ooze that goes into the yain is bittul b'shishim. Part of the cheshbon over here is that because it's bittul b'shishim, so the grape ooze doesn't exist. And therefore, even though it's a damar shirsham atirim, I'm going to be mekel. However, elsewhere, if it's only an issue of bittul b'roi, I'm going to be machmir. This is relevant in Hilchos Shabbos in another area. Turn in Hilchos Shabbos in the Magen Avraham in Simen Shin Yud Ches Os Ches. Magen Avraham Shin Yud Ches Os Ches. Shin Yud Ches. Oh, in the Magen Avraham. Here, it's going on the Ramah in Sif Beis, in Shin Yud Ches, Sif Beis. The Ramah writes in Shin Yud Ches, Sif Beis. Im katzat peiros min hamachubar l'chola b'shabbos, afilu hayachola mi ba'od yom, it's asr l'bari b'shabbos. If I cut fruit from a tree, and my intention is to give that fruit to someone who's a chelashi basakana, who mamish is chalashing for a lemon. The guy is going to die if he doesn't get that lemon. Chelashi basakana. So I'm allowed to cut the fruit for him. But once I rip out that lemon, I can't give it to a bari. It's also a bari b'shabbos. Why? Mishum shegadal v'holech b'shabbos v'yesh. The Rambam writes that the reason why it's a problem is because the fruit continues to grow. If I pull off a fruit, is that true, by the way? The assumption is that a fruit continues to grow when it's off the tree. If the fruit... what? It ripens, okay. The Rambam writes
Every fruit you buy at the store was 6 months ago and artificially ripened to a much, much larger size.
I'm sorry, the fruits that we have in the store ripen 6 months ago? That's what you're saying? Could be. I mean, the question is, do fruits grow after they're plucked, after they're picked? So the Ramah writes over here that the fruit continues to grow on Shabbos, and therefore there's mukta in the fruit.
The Magen Avraham, did you just say that it grew when it was connected?
It was growing. I pull it off, and it continues to grow.
If it still grows after it's connected, am I chayav after it's connected? Am I still chayav on kotzer?
I was chayav on kotzer. But now this fruit, this chefza, should be mutter for a bari, because since this chefza was pulled off for a chayla, I'm not doing anything extra for the bari. Why should the bari not eat it? So the Rama writes, because it continues to grow on Shabbos. If you want to see it in the Mishnah Brura, the Mishnah Brura in Shin Yud Ches Os Tes Zayin writes, I and Magen Avram Shehiksha Delibato Hagidulim Be'ikar Shuharo Shoheter Vihe Mutter Libari Kisha Nechla Mi Ba'od Yom. It would be a Hagram, it's added Gamkein Lahalacha. In other words, the Magen Avram is bothered by Akasha, that it should be mutter because it continues to grow. It should be bottle bereif. So the Magen Avraham answers, well, it's not going to be bottle bereif in this case because it's bala olam b'taruvus. That's what the Magen Avraham writes in Shin Yud Ches Os Ches. 1 second, isn't that Soser Ardin and Shin Chaf Sif Beis? That when something is bala olam b'taruvus, not only is it bottle, but it has super duper bittle. The bittle is such that even the Dovash Yerushim Atun is going to be bottle. The answer is that no, it's not a stira.
Jake, do you have a rebuttal?
What? Do I have a rebuttal?
No, dude, it sounds like Jake has a rebuttal.
Oh, okay. Jake, do you have a rebuttal over here? The answer is that it's not.
To be honest, it does sound like a stira to what Rav Amar spoke about a few years ago in Glock with the artificial insemination surrogate mothers.
Yeah, that's your this one. I mean, in terms of left field, this is deep left, but I'll let you continue. Yeah.
I mean, he essentially wanted to say that. He wanted to say that you go by the biological mother, not the surrogate mother, based off the din of gedule gedule.
Okay.
But the whole idea, this whole concept of because it's bala olam b'taruvus, it not being bata would throw a major wrench into that thesis.
Because
it's to be honest, those are my first thoughts.
It certainly is relevant for that issue. If you want to be mek on the surrogate motherhood issue, based on like some din of gedula gedulin, then we have to talk about bala olam b'taruvus and whether there's bittul or not, which we have our stira in the Mordechai's and another Yehuda's answer of a difference between what's it called, bittul b'roiv and bittul b'shishim. So that's lachora the pshat over here in the Magen Avraham, no? The Magen Avraham writes that it's the problem because it's bottle. And Mistama, what he means is that it's bottle bereiv. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Bi'ur HaGra disagrees. The Gra quotes this din, and he says it's not going to be bottle because it's bottle olam b'taruvus. Aval, zok the Gra there in Shin Yud Chesif Beis. Then it's going to be mutter. Right? Now, the Goyim does not draw this distinction between Bittul Berov and Bittul B'Shishim. He does not draw the distinction that the Nodi Yehuda made famous. So that was the first point I wanted to make about this issue. Let's go weiter. Let's talk about more Judaism. Oh, yesterday we spoke about whether the Shechita of Boser is a din of Borer or a din of Dosh. But before I finish my thought. Mr. Fink, Shalita.
Yeah, I was just, going back to another view of this point that Lishishin, it's like it's not there.
Yeah.
Just, why is Zarvashishin on that tier end? Why is that a concept then? It's just not there.
Yes, that's a good question. So according to Rashi, means which means something to the effect of that bittul is a kula, and you don't have to rely on, if you don't have to rely on the kula, you don't rely on the kula. The Ran says that davishishim matirin is a problem. Because bittul always means a contrast between iser and heter. If it's a davishishim matirin, there's not a full contrast. Because the iser is not a full-fledged iser, memela can't be bottom. Right? Bittul means I have iser and heter, two different things. But if the iser is potentially heter, it's not really a contrast. Therefore, they can't be bittul. That's what the Ran says. B'chayra, this whole yisod of davar sheyesh lo matirin being bottle and it's bula olam b'taruvis only makes sense if I hold like the lumdus of Rashi, not if I hold like the lumdus of the Ran. In other words, according to Rashi, the din of davar sheyesh lo matirin is like, why get involved in the shayla? So I'm going to say, if it's bala olam b'taruvus, it was never a shayla. But according to the Ran, that bittul is a formal din that involves a contrast of iser to heter, so l'chaira, it should, yeah. That's a point that I make in my shirman in Yeridaya. Okay. Gentlemen, let's continue our conversations. Let's go back to what we spoke about eating grapefruit on Shabbos, no? Eating grapefruit on Shabbos. So he pointed out that the Shmir Shas Kilchos has an ekel because he assumes that it is a double derabbanan. Squeezing grapefruits is derabbanan, he says, because it's not zeisim ba'anotim. And squeezing kil achar yad is a problem, only midrabbanan, it's a shinui. The normal way to squeeze a fruit is like this, but to squeeze kil achar yad is not a problem in HaTorah. So it's a shvus to shvus of sorts. Psik resha by a double derabbanan is going to be mutter. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Of course, we can question both aspects of the derabbanans, no? We could question that maybe grapefruits should be doiraisa, should be like zeisim v'anotim bizmanase, since everyone squeezes grapefruits. We could also question that who says squeezing a fruit with a spoon is kelachayar? Maybe a normal way to squeeze a grapefruit is with a spoon. We could also question that maybe the juice that comes out of the grapefruit should be usser altmashkin shazavu. Now, altmashkin shazavu, we know that if it is not zeisim ba'anovim, if it's tusim v'rimonim, and it was oimed la'achila, so Rabbi Yehuda is megel, and we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. So l'cha'ora, once I'm saying that grapefruit is rabbanon, like tusim v'rimonim, which itself is debatable, if I accept that, so there's going to be no din of zeisim ba'anovim, right? It's going to be like tusim v'rimonim, so l'cha'ora, that should be okay. I think that's the basic idea that the eating the grapefruit is going to be okay.
Rabbi, is it really so common to squeeze grapefruit as a mashke? Because that's the only way you can get it into zeisim ba'anovim. You squeeze it regularly as a mashke to drink. Either, you know, the
I think, again, I could go to any store and buy Tropicana grapefruit juice. And I think people squeeze it regularly, Bisman Hazeh.
Yeah,
according to the Svara that we presented of Rashi, the way the Prima Gundam understood it, so I could make a very strong case that grapefruit juice, since it's done la chavios, the alofim or revavos, So therefore, one could argue that it should be libido raisa. No?
You... Right, but it's again, categorization that nothing. It also needs to be something which is for summer or latina, and that's for different bottles.
Again, I didn't hear you.
In order to get into the category of Jason the Anavim, it needs to be, as the Beis Yosef says, with Sama or the Tainog.
Yeah. Isn't that why people drink grapefruit juice?
Is that a, I have no idea. People drink
grapefruit juice is awesome. You should try it.
Okay.
Stuff. And this is an official rabbinic endorsement. Grapefruit juice is great.
Uh-huh. Specifically Tropicana or juice is better.
You have to start with Tropicana. That's where, that's the haskola of the sugya. Now, here's the thing though. There's a creative approach to be matir the grapefruits that I saw in my friend, the Megillah Sefer. The Megillah Sefer suggests that we saw kvashem and shlakos, shasachdan the gufan is going to be mutter. But Shasachdan the main mehen is going to be Osir, right? Rabbi Yechon holds it's Osir min Atayra, and Rabbi Shmuel holds it's Osir midrabon. Now, says Rav Uriel Eisenthal in his Sefer Megillah Sefer, that maybe when I squeeze that grapefruit and I get that grapefruit juice out because I'm eating the grapefruit, L'cha'ora, that's like sachdan legufan, no? It's the equivalent of my pickle is too watery, so I want to dewaterize the pickle, right? So I squeeze it to eat the pickle. Over here, I'm squeezing the grapefruit to eat the grapefruit. So it should be sachdan legufan, and therefore I should be able to be makel, forget Rav Shlomo Zalman's psikresha on a double derabanan. Because a grapefruit is tusim v'rimayinim, and it's kelachayad. We question, maybe it's not kelachayad, but it should still be mutter, says Rav Uriel Eisenthal, because it is sachdan legufan. And the kula of sachdan legufan, the Magen Avraham tells me, it's if katan tes, that the kul of sachdan legufan applies not only to kavashim and shlakais, but applies to tutim and rimonim also. The Prima Godim understands, I think a lady was sending me makoros on this question, that the Prima Godim understands that there's no kula of sachdan legufan on zesim and anovim. But the kula does apply to tutim and rimonim. If I am saying, which seems to be the mainstream approach in Judaism, that a grapefruit is like tutim v'rimonim, so there could be a kula of sachdan legufan, and therefore it's going to be heter gomor to eat grapefruit on Shabbos. Yoichul anovim v'yisbo'u. Last night I made an order from Evergreen. They deliver to the Heights. I bought, they are selling 7 pink grapefruits for $4, which is a good price. I bought it. I plan on eating it Shabbos lunch because grapefruit is mutter to eat on Shabbos, against what we said in the tshuvas of Reb Usher Bush, right? Even though their questions are Reb Shlomo Zalman, but the Chor of Uriel Eisenthal saying, very good, it's like sachtan le kufan mutter, Mr. Fink, what's your rebuttal? So sachdan legufan l'cha'era means I'm squeezing it because I want to eat the fruit. The water after is going to be mutter because there's no gezera of mashkin shezavu on the grapefruit because it's fruit which is aymed la'achila, and by tutim v'rimonim, which is omdim la'achila, there's no din of mashkin shezavu. You mamish could have your grapefruit and eat it.
And drink the liquid.
And drink the liquid. Eat it and drink it. That's what Rav Uriel Eisenthal suggests. I actually like it. It sounds good to me. It's a cooler. But sometimes we like coolers.
So pickle juice, you can squeeze the pickle, eat the pickle, and then drink the juice?
You could squeeze the pickle. So by the grapefruit juice, by the pickle, if I squeeze it in order to get the juice, so then it's sachdan mehen, which is a problem. I can't have kavana. But you're right. In other words, you're right. If I squeeze the pickle because I want to eat the pickle, and then there's pickle juice that comes out of it, right? So it comes out memela. It's an unintended consequence, or it's not my intention. So it's mutter to drink that pickle juice. Let's say you'd be in a real college and you want to get into a fraternity and you have to drink pickle juice to get in or something like that. So, right? It would be mutter.
Rebbe?
Yes.
I saw quarters from the Chai Adam that in order to use the hefty of the gufan, the juice has to go to the ibud.
Yeah. The Chai Adam says it has to go to the ibud. Rav, what's his name? Rav Uriel Eisenthal. The Chai Adam is in Yud Dalet Hey or something? Rav Eisenthal knows that the Chai Adam has no precedent lahalacha. And we don't pass him like the Chai Adam. And that's why he's make on the, what's it called? He's make on the grapefruit. Again,
I would have thought that the most obvious heter for the grapefruit is that it's just called eating. Like, I don't need a special heter to cut a grape. It's a secretia, it's lonifale, you're going to be squeezing. I can cut grapes. I can cut a grapefruit and eat normally.
No, but the question is, when I cut the grapefruit to eat it normally, inevitably I'm going to be squeezing some of the juice out of the grapefruit. When I stick my spoon...
When I cut a grape, I'm inevitably going to be squeezing some juice out of the grapefruit. It's called eating.
When I cut the grape, inevitably juice comes out. Inevitably juice comes out. Is that true?
The knife is wet.
I think it's a tiny, tiny bit.
So what? The chatzishir.
But I think some of the Acharinim say, I think the Chaya Adam that you quoted also writes, if it's a tiny bit, for sure, there's no issue.
I don't know.
You're asking the same question about tomatoes. Cut tomatoes. You know, it always leaks a bit.
Yeah.
When you cut a tomato, it never, right? Here's the thing. If I have, like, there used to be something called summertime before climate change. So in summertime, people used to have like fruit bowls, salad. And let's say you have a bowl with watermelon and blueberries and cantaloupe, right? At the end of eating the bowl, there's going to be some watermelon, blueberry, cantaloupe liquid at the bottom. Am I allowed to drink that liquid? Right? So that's mashkin shezavu from something that's omed lachila, which is mutter, right? Cutting a grapefruit. I don't think anyone ever asked cutting a grapefruit or cutting a tomato, because I think the amount of liquid that comes out of it is not considered mashkin klav ikar, as opposed to the liquid that comes out of the grapefruit is much more quantitative.
Yeah, it's literally nasata devarecha l'shiurim. Like, I'm not correct. Sure how this works.
That's correct. Again, I don't know. The minhag ha'olam has always been to eat grapefruits and tomatoes and to cut grapes. The shaila is, why is it permitted? There's certain things that if Klal Yisrael has been doing like for hundreds of years, it's got to be mutter. Is that a fair assessment?
Pashtus Avraham Avinu wore a strimal and ate grapefruit on Shabbos.
Pashtus is what?
Avraham Avinu wore a strimal and
Avraham Avinu ate pickles on Shabbos. He wore a strimal. Of course, he ate grapefruit.
Pashtus in the shtetl, they didn't have grapefruit.
In the shtetl, they did not have grapefruit.
He had a filter on his faucet.
What were you saying?
He had a filter on his faucet.
He had a filter on his faucet. I don't know.
The Bekoshi had a shrogim.
The Bekoshi had a shrogim. Yeah, that's true.
Yoni's point.
Again, I like this, Vara. I mean, you're raising questions in terms of how far do I go with this idea of legufan, right? And do I assume that if I do it legufan, there's going to still be some iser of mashkin shezavu? The pashtus is not.
It's not sure you need any of these birds, but it's just called eating.
It's called eating. I mean, that's... Yeah, that's an interesting svara. You have to figure out this idea of eating. Is that make on everything? I know such a kula le'ingin borer. Right, that's part of the issue in the Yireyim versus the Baal Ha'itor about squeezing the grape into your mouth. Right? Why is that not called eating? How come some aser? How come the Yireyim aser squeezing the grape? Ellie?
Might be that it's not normal eating, right? That's not, you're a weirdo. Yeah.
I mean, that's already also in the Sathas Rech L'Shiyum. A lot of people might eat it that way. I don't know. I'm not like, Ellie, what's your comment?
When you squeeze a grape, they're doing kind of a thing for both to make the grape sweeter and for the mashkin. Like, you want to drink the liquid afterwards. It's not kind of like...
But again, here's the thing. If I want grapefruit juice, I would go to the store, I'd buy Tropicana grapefruit juice. I want to eat a grapefruit. It happens that a geschmack of grapefruit has liquid in it.
You want both the grapefruit and the juice.
I want both. So why am I saying it? My skita is l'gufan. My skita is because I want the fruit. And the way to get the fruit geschmack is that, no?
But Rebbe, I mean, is it really, you know, it's more like, you know, you got to go back to the Rashba about you have a double kavana. Everyone knows that when they're done with the grapefruit, they're going to have the juice.
Right. I hear. Again, I hear the point that you're making. It's worth focusing on. I don't know. I like this svara much more, I'd say, before you guys decided to disagree with me. I like this svara a little bit less now than I did beforehand. I still like it. I think it's still okay. Okay.
Now we're all going to go home and drink grapefruit too.
Yeah, again, like, do you eat grapefruit on Shabbos? Does anyone know what Rabbi Willig does? Lamaisa? Does anyone know if Rabbi Wog eats grapefruit on Shabbos or not?
He eats oranges.
He eats oranges.
He eats it with like a spoon?
You're right. We have to find out. This is an important question. Yeah.
I think we should have a
Shir Shabbat Karim. Shir Shabbat Rabbi Willing's house. After COVID, we'll celebrate by bringing Rabbi Willing a grapefruit on Shabbos. And
seeing... It's always on Shabbos because it's always been in that fridge.
Oh, here. Okay, gentlemen, I want to just talk about very briefly the last Gemara in Parak Bametomnin, which comes up here in Shulchan Aruch and Se'ifim Tes and following. Emiraskin or Emiraksin is Hashavu as Habarad B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to crush the snow and ice on Shabbos. Why is that true? Three Shitos in Rishonim. Rambam says it's a Gezer of Mashkin Shazavu. Rambam says it's like the Mashke is flowing out of the snow and the ice. Rashi says it's like molid in the sense of it's dome l'malacha. I'm making something new, right? I thought this Rashi might be a maramakum to ask for electricity on Shabbos. We spoke about this in the Shiur on Bishul B'Shabbos. The Sefer HaTruma says it's an iser of nolad. It's some sort of iser out muktza. Now, we pointed out that the Mechaber does not hold like the Sefer HaTruma. The Mechaber holds that there's no iser of nolad slash muktza when you squeeze the ice on Shabbos. The iser is only to do it by yadayim, the Mechaber holds. Because if I do it by yadayim, it's like I'm being seichat the peiros. But if it just happens on its own, it's not going to be a problem. That's why the Mechaber and Shin Yud Chesiv Tesayin is make on taking the empanada, right, which apparently is like a Spanish word for like a real food today. You take an empanada, you put it near the fire, the Mechaber says it's mutter, even though it's going to end up having liquid that flows out of it, fat that flows out of it. Mechaber says it's mutter. The Ramah says, don't do it, l'chatchila. The Ramah says, because he's koshish for the Sefer HaTruma, that there is a din of, Naila, that some sort of Isser Muktza. Now, the shaila comes up, though, what about going the opposite direction? We're talking about making the solid into a liquid. So Ashkenazim shouldn't do it, because it's like a nayla. Sfaradim, you could do it as you like. It happens, though, that for Ashkenazim, l'cha'era, it's better to put the Coca-Cola in the cup and then put the ice cubes in. For Sfaradim, it doesn't matter. No, because the din of nolad is only if it's nikar, right? It's only if it's noticeable that you have a serious accumulation of stuff. If I put my ice cubes in my Coca-Cola, it's not going to be nikar that there's something that's added. But if I put the ice cubes in first, so you're going to notice accumulation of water at the bottom of the cup. So for Ashkenazim, that could be an issue of nolad. Sfaradim couldn't care less about that issue. What about the opposite way? You're allowed to make ice on Shabbos, right? In other words, we spoke about nolad in the sense of going from water, from going from ice to water. What about going from water to ice?
Wasn't that
nicker? So it should be nicker. So it should be that Ashkenazim should be machmir on this. And it should be Sfaradim, should be mekal. That's the pashtus. It happens that there's a tshuva in the Dovev Meisharim where he maintains that even Ashkenazim can be mekal on making the ice on Shabbos. Because he says water, he says like this. There's a discussion in the Gemara Nida. Rav Zevin has an essay about this in his book, L'Ar HaHalacha. What's the halachic status of snow and ice, etc.? Does it have the din of a mashke? Does it have a din of a meichel? Does snow and ice have a din of a solid or a liquid? So it could be that when I'm squeezing the ice to make it into water, since my kavana was that it should have been water beforehand, so one could argue that since my kavana is that it should be water, it's going to be mutter afterwards, because even though it was water, even though it was solid beforehand, it was solid water. So it could be that Sfaradim, I said it a teeny bit backwards a second ago, Sfaradim are makal on squeezing the ice. There's no din of nilat because they view the ice as being a solid form of water, because your kavana is it should be water later on, and therefore Sfaradim say it's mutter. But if my kavana is to go from water to ice, so then I don't intend on that item being a liquid. I intend on it being a solid. Then it becomes a solid, and it could be that the Mechaber is going to be Machmir on that case also. That's what the Dof of Meisharim says. It's very hard to understand, because Hatenach by ice, I could say that's Svara. Right? In other words, the Dof of Meisharim argues that both according to the Mechaber and according to the Ramah, you should not be able to make ice on Shabbos. But Lechara, his Svara, that the Mechaber is only Mekel on nolad because the ice has a din of water, doesn't work out in the empanada case. So I think his svara is difficult. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the Sefer Mipnine Harav on page Ayin Tes that you're not allowed to make ice on Shabbos because it is bone. Bone, right? Why am I building? Just like there's a din, you're not allowed to make cheese on Shabbos because that's bona. Making ice on Shabbos, the Rav felt, is bona. In Rav Kook's Chuvos, in the Orech Mishpat, in Simin Samach Tes of Orech Chaim, so Rav Kook says, can't be bona. Making something a solid that used to be a liquid can't be bona. And he has a raya from the Gemara that we learned last semester. The Gemara says, Gilgal Mai. If I take an egg next to a urn and I make the egg cook a teeny bit, so the Gemara says Gilgal's chayav chatos. But Gilgal's only chayav chatos because it is toldos ha'ar. If I do Gilgal as habetza betoldos chama or bechama atma, let's say, then it's going to be heter gomor. No? Gilgal beitza means that it goes from being a soft egg to a hard egg. Zetman says Rav Kook that there is no iser to go from soft to hard. There's no boina. How come making cheese a bona? Making cheese is bona, like the Rambam writes, because the melacha bona means I take disparate items and I unite them as one thing. When I make cheese, I take curds which are like small semi-solid things. I put it together, it becomes one mass. That's bonef. But when I take water and I make it into ice, l'cha'ora, it's not bonef, which is against what Rav Soloveitchik said in the, what Rav Shetter quotes in the Rav on page Ayin Tes of Mipnei Rav. Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful, blessed, and marvelous day.